Welcome along to the Let's Talk Racing podcast in association with Racing TV. What a weekend of racing. I cannot wait to review it. We're also going to go through Weatherby entries. It's the start of the National Hunt season. All these big races coming around, the Charlie Hall, the West Yorkshire Hurdle. We've got racing, jumps racing back at Ascot as well. And joining me to go through this great action, Andrew Blair-White as usual, and also a very good friend of the podcast, Charlie Post. Charlie, how are you doing?
I'm really good, Josh. It's great to be here with you and Andrew and, you know, around some younger people, exciting people that are doing different things in the racing industry. And it's actually a miracle I'm here because to get Google Chrome downloaded onto my wife's laptop was something that blew my mind. And if it wasn't for your technical support and advice, yeah, I'm not sure I'll be here today.
You're a very good communicator, Charlie. Well, you drastically raised the average age of the guests on the podcast, so congratulations with that.
Thank you.
Andrew's been a bit quiet, and understandably, because I think if you'd watched the latest Let's Talk Racing video, he wasn't particularly keen on third time lucky. I'm sure we'll get onto that. But Andrew, are you still doing all right in there?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Yeah, after being picked off the floor from third time lucky, I really did need Bardenstown Lad to go and do the business around half an hour afterwards, and he did so. So I was really down on the deck, egg on the face, but I managed to somehow claw my way out of the weekend all unscathed.
Well, let's talk about the weekend's racing. Some of the more impressive horses on show. I thought Annual Invictus was very good.
Yeah, he looks like he might be a little bit better than that. I suspect he'll end up going down that kind of top handicap route, potentially over 2 miles, 2.5 miles. He jumped for fun, and the way he came out of his jockey's hands at the last there would really indicate just how much he had left in the tank. And he had good horses in behind there, Danny Kerwin and Favoir, who probably fluffed their lines a little bit jumping-wise, and he kind of jumped them silly. He looked a more professional horse. Danny Kerwin's a nice type of horse, but he's 8 years old now, and he still looks green, still looks babyish, and I just don't know whether he's ever going to really put it together, but he's a horse of a lot of quality.
Andrew, do you think that Danny Kerwin is a massive underachiever, though, in fairness? He came with a heck of a lot of hype, didn't he, as a Scorpion after he won his point-to-point?
Yeah, he has underachieved, I suspect. I was saying this when we were talking about this race last week, and I couldn't believe that it's taken so long for him to go over fences. They've said ever since he was a bumper horse that he was a chaser waiting to happen, and it's taken until the age of 8 for it to happen, so you'd have to assume all hasn't been quite so easy at home, but he was a great underachiever over hurdles, and it looks like he needs a little bit of a scrubbing up on his jumping as well if he's going to make up into any sort of half-decent chaser.
Andrew, I bet you were slightly confused when watching Bardenstown Lad, because you put him up for 50 to 1 for the Albert Bartlett in March on the anti-post video, and I reckon if I told you at the weekend that he'd have won, you'd have been slightly confused that his price hasn't really changed, but he did look slow as anything. But then looking at the Bartlett, isn't that just the exact profile you need? Something that's not flashy, but will stay forever.
Yeah, well, to be fair, Josh, this could well be the slowest horse in training, the way he was going around Cheltenham. Like, he was off the bridle after, I'd say, 2 furlongs for Sean Bone. Sean Bone gave him an absolutely cracking ride, got him interested in the race at around 3 out and made a kind of swooping move on the outside. He just looks one of those lazy sort of horses. Wouldn't particularly, you know, you'd have some sort of a kind of combination between himself and Paisley Park in terms of that sort of behind the bridle sort of horse, kind of makes a few jumping mistakes, but when you need him most, he will pull out a bit for you. And I suppose he isn't flashy, he's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, I understand that, but as you say, the Albert Bartlett sometimes is won by a slow horse. You think of the Martello Towers of the world, and, you know, sometimes you need that guts and resolution. And certainly for a young enough horse, he looks plenty hardy enough.
Charlie, when you're on these horses that aren't going anywhere anytime quickly, how hard is it to keep going, knowing and hoping that they will pick up at some point?
Do you know what, as in, I completely agree with Andrew. I think Sean gave him an excellent ride, and Sean isn't a fantastically talented rider. I'm surprised he hasn't got a bigger job already. But once a horse is off the bridle, Josh, from a riding point of view, it's pretty one-dimensional. As in, sometimes I do feel these rides get undue praise, if that makes sense, because really it's a test of sort of fitness and desire over on sometimes latent skill. You know, sometimes I think there's more skill in producing a horse the way a Paul Carberry used to once also off the bridle, and I always used to enjoy it. You know, you're just going to try and keep pouring on the shoveling on the coal and hoping that the horse sort of ignites underneath you and that maybe they've gone too quick and that you're staying on again when it's all over. Because they were massively contrasting rides in this race, because I thought Harry Skelton gave Dragon Bones a beautiful ride as well, smuggled her into the race, and she's actually a filly we broke in here at the yard, and she's been a massive overachiever for Ian Williams, and I think she's sort of four from six over hurdles. And so I thought you saw two different spectrums of the riding game there. Sean Bowen, all fitness and strength and cajoling desire, and Harry Skelton patiently waiting, smuggling, trying to be the last one to challenge. And it was a really great race to watch this, I thought.
Looking back at that Harry Skelton ride on Dragon Bones, it was probably slightly different to the ride on Third Time Lucky, who was mightily impressive. I cannot wait to speak to Andrew about this. Well, talk me through it. How did the race unfold?
As someone that holds Third Time Lucky dear to their heart, I was a bit like, oh, crikey, is this the sort of ideal place? Because he can be a bit gassy. We know he's got plenty of nervous energy. It's Cheltenham, it's undulating, it's not an easy track to always find rhythm, especially if you're over racing. And so, yeah, I think from a trainer's point of view, it's not the ideal scenario, but they had to get on. I think he was ready, and he's the sort of horse that could easily boil over if you just kept training him. The race unfolded probably as I thought it would early, in that he was keen. I'm not saying he wouldn't have been happy over the first few, but he was doing enough now, but jumping cleanly and sharply and in tight and showing scope, which was the most important thing. And then halfway down the back, I mean, he just jumped himself to the front, and Harry had no choice but to go on. You're sort of holding your breath. I mean, it wasn't the County Hurdle standard of race, but again, similar scenario to the County Hurdle. And he's had a wind up, he strengthened up, and he just went further and further clear. And look, people got overreacted about the performance because it was so visually impressive, but he beat some solid 140 horses. And you know, what do you need to win an Arkle? You need to have the ability to travel, and you need to have the ability to jump sharply and cleanly under pressure. And we've seen in recent years there's plenty of Arkle winners take the race by the scruff of the neck and pour it on, and he did that. Look, there's going to be a lot more challenges to come, and Willie Mullins for sure is going to have a lot to say about this, but as a marker at this stage of the year, it was mightily impressive. And I was even talking to Matt Chapman about it. Is 20-1 ridiculous? I'm not sure it is on the back of this as a horse showcasing latent racing ability. 20-1 could look very short after if he went and won the Grade One at Sandown or something like this. But yes, with appreciated and horses like that on the horizon, there's much more to prove still.
Andrew, what did you make of this?
Look, he was very good. You know, I'm prepared to admit, you know, when one is wrong, and I had doubts about him, I must confess, but he jumped so well, and we were mentioning really about how Skelton manages to get these horses to jump so well as novice chasers, and he looked no different in this regard. The problem I have with Third Time Lucky is just he seems to bring a following of people on social media that just clamour for him to be, you know, like you'd swear we've seen Masterminded run at Cheltenham there on Friday, not Third Time Lucky. And like it was a very good performance, and I think Charlie's bang on. I think it was a good marker. He's 20-1, a grand price for the Arkle. It probably is, but people were almost already confessing that he'd won the Arkle, and he's ended up beating Buddy Rich. And without being, you know, without mincing my words too much, I'm not sure they're trying to tap with Buddy Rich at the moment. I think he's the type of horse that might come back for a grand annual off the marquees off, and any news didn't jump a twig. He was sending birch flying at every single fence. What I can't understand is that Cape Gentleman, trained by Emmett Mullins, has won the exact same distance to Buddy Rich, and he's an unfancied 40-1 shot for the Arkle with nobody fancying him, and yet Third Time Lucky, who's beaten the exact same horse, is suddenly being propelled into racing folklore. So as long as people can just keep their feet grounded, I think he's a very good horse. I think he will take a lot of beating in the Sandown Grade 1 over 2 miles, because I think that sort of a test looks to be, you know, with a lot of jumping down the back, looks like it might suit him. But we just need to cool the jets in terms of certainly just going a little bit over the top with our descriptions of them, because it is an October meeting after all.
So I would imagine the plan would be the Arkle trial at the November meeting, and then on to the Henry VIII, and then maybe probably a break, the Kingmaker, and then the Arkle. That's usually the route they'd probably go down, similar to the route with All Mankind, except from the Arkle trial. But if you look at, okay, let's take the Arkle out of the situation. The horses that he might run against in the Arkle trial, the Henry VIII and the Kingmaker, horses, well, the contenders in the markets at the moment, My Drogo, he'll go up and trip. I no doubt that he'll start over 2 miles, but he will go up and trip. Goshen, not going over fences. Montmorel's going to the Fighting Fifth. Dusart staying over hurdles and needs a trip. There is a real lack of top quality 2 mile novice chasers this side of the Irish Sea. Do you think that he could go into the Arkle in March with a string of ones by his name, and that's the reason why people are holding on to him?
Yeah, I'd say so. You know, and obviously if he continues to win races and win races so visually impressively, he'll continue to contract in price. I think that the overall novice chase division is just going to be a lot stronger in Ireland, certainly at the 2 mile and 2.5 mile division. So that might just tell us a little bit more. The likes of Appreciated's Fernie Hollows. I'm sure Bob Olinger will start his beginner's chase campaign over 2 mile one or something at Navan. So these are all things to bear in mind. But as you say, it's not really a list you'd be fearful of too much. Willie Mullins doesn't necessarily like sending his novice chasers over to England. But I don't know, with Appreciated and Fernie Hollow, if they're trying to not butt heads, would they potentially run a horse over at Sandown in that Henry VIII? I'm not so sure. But if they're not, I suspect Third Time Lucky won't have too many fears. And I don't think the camp would have too many fears about the certain amount of opposition they're going to come up against.
I agree. It would be nice to see Willie send one over. I'm sure it would be nice for the Skeletons. Charlie, you touched on it earlier that you've got a close affiliation with this horse. You did produce him at the yard, at Station Yard. Was the writing on the wall early? Was this horse always going to be good?
Look, I mean, it really annoys me when people sort of break a horse in or do this or that and they go, oh yeah, we always knew he was going to be a star. He was also always showed plenty of ability. He was a real natural athlete. We managed to get him beaten a point to point due to my own ignorance and stupidity at the time, but there we go.
You weren't riding him, were you?
No, I wasn't. I was desperate to have a four-year-old win in January. Well, I was. Francesca probably wasn't so bothered about it because Tom Lacey had done it the year before. It was the last weekend in January, and I told Francesca that we'd run him at Thorpe Lodge over 3 mile anyway because he'd just win because we thought he was that nice. And he just ran way too keen. He galloped through fences and he led over the second last and got beat by, I can't remember the name of the horse. He's a 100 rated chaser for Caroline Bailey now.
Thomas Shelby.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. So look, we all get it wrong. And like I say, it was the wrong decision at that stage. But he was always a horse that had a lot of natural talent. And if you were flagging up horses that you hoped might go on to become above average performers, he was definitely one of those. And you know, and so it's proved, which is great for the yard. All people that are producing horses need flag bearers. And like, I'd be delighted if Willie Mullins doesn't turn up at Sandown in the Grade One. And if he could go and become a Grade One winner, it'd be a massive boost for us and our team. It'd be a huge thrill for Francesca and I personally. And like I say, I'm not sure the competition in the UK, in Britain, as Andrew said, is that strong. But I'm quite content with that right now. And if he can mop up a load of graded races before a showdown on the Tuesday at Cheltenham, where the opposition is going to be infinitely stronger. I mean, Appreciated, Fernie Hollow, a formidable Appreciated especially. And Bob Olinger, as Andrew said, he'll start off over 2 mile. He doesn't look like a horse at shorter toe. So if he was there as well, it's going to be a huge test for Third Time Lucky. But right now, I'm just going to enjoy watching him and, like I say, hope that he can keep the dream alive.
It was a brilliant weekend for Dan Skelton, capped with a win in the old Roan Chase with All Mankind. Charlie, I'm going to go back to you, actually. What did you make of this performance? I just thought it was so, so tough.
It personified to me everything that the Skeltons get so right. This was a plan that had obviously been in the making since the end of last year. They knew they needed to get a prep run into him. They went to Chepstow. He ran a lovely race and finished third over hurdles. to take the gas out of him. We all know that he's a bit of a tearaway lunatic and an enigmatic character. And then, as Andrew again has already alluded, the way Harry Skelton gets these sort of horses jumping, it was an attacking, bold ride on a horse that's not the biggest in the world, but he's as tough as old boots as well. I personally felt there was reasons to think Itchy Feet could have easily won this race and didn't, but he didn't because of the desire of all mankind and his rider. And then I think if we've all seen those pictures on social media of Dan Skelton looking like an absolute maniac by the winning line with assistant Tom Messenger behind him, it showed how much it meant. And it meant a lot because, like I say, they'd planned for this. And as is often the way with this operation, when they put their mind to it, it all comes together, in my opinion.
It was a very good training performance. And Andrew, Itchy Feet, I wouldn't say that he's been a cliff horse for you, but he's a horse that you follow the Ollie Murphy stable very closely. Where do they go next with this horse?
Yeah, hard to know, really. He's such a good horse. You know there's plenty of talent there. It just seems to be that jumping does seem to let him down at times, especially just when the taps are turned in races, and made a few just niggly mistakes and then stays on like a train. I don't think he was ever really getting to All Mankind, though, so I think he was a lot more worthy the winner than a one length deficit or one length victory in the end, because he was just always holding them up the straight. With Itchy Feet, do they go back to Ascot, where they've run behind Imperial Aura before, you know, Dashiell Drasher before? But again, it's his jumping that's his Achilles heel. Even though he is a quality horse, he should be really running in grade one races based off his natural ability, but that jumping is constantly keeping him back. So be hopefully he can iron it out at some stage and we can see the proper Itchy Feet.
I mean, for me, he was sort of lugging in behind All Mankind after the last as well. And I don't want to say I have this on authority, but I think there's every chance that at the right moment you're going to see this horse with a set of blinkers on.
He's quite the opposite of All Mankind. It's interesting. I think the jumping Ollie Murphy's of the last couple of years, he's done a brilliant job in the time that he's had training. But there was a general theme that they didn't jump as well as they could. Interesting that they've now put a schooling strip in and they've got Laura Collett, a gold medalist Olympian, to come in and school the horses. How much of a difference do you think that could make, Charlie?
Yeah, I think it's a trainer showing, you know, intelligence and looking outside the box. You know, the schooling strip is going to be a game changer. It's going to allow them to school at much higher tempo whenever they need to do that, which I think is massive. And yeah, I mean, look, Laura Collett, she's going to, she's not going to be sort of out there on the schooling strip, letting Itchy Feet fly down over fences. What she will do, Josh, is in the outdoor school that they put in as well, another new addition to this fantastic facility, is she'll be doing technical stuff with show jumps, sort of doing things that are going to make the likes of Itchy Feet be sharper with his feet and give him better jumping technique, which you're then hoping will then progress into the racing scenario when the taps are turned on, that they're going to iron out sloppy mistakes that like a horse like this might have had in the past.
It definitely won't happen overnight, but hopefully down the line, and Ollie can reap the rewards of that extra schooling and the schooling strip and Laura being part of the team. Let's move our attentions to this weekend and the entries. A Surname returns in the Charlie Hall, and the Skeltons will want to continue the fine form of Shamblou. But I thought the West Yorkshire Hurdle entries were particularly interesting. Master Tommy Tucker reverting to hurdles, that's probably no surprise, and they should have done that a long time ago with his jumping. Also Paisley Park. Now I thought that Paisley Park, and there was rumours that he would go chasing. I think that Emma Laval is keen to go chasing, whether the owner Andrew Gemmell has slight concerns. But looking at the Stayers Hurdle division as a whole, it's quite interesting. Time Hill starts in France. Classical Dream, me and Andrew have spoken about him before. He'd be slightly unreliable and you'd want to see that Punchestown performance again. Side of Burleigh, is he good enough? And the likes of a Florian Porter, still young, he could be the solid horse in the race. But there's no real standout, maybe aside from Time Hill at the moment. Does that open the door for the likes of a Buzz, who won the Sarwich? I think that Jess Stafford was talking, saying that he could be aimed at the 2.5 mile Ascot Hurdle or even the Long Walk, then go to the Cleeve. He's never ran around Cheltenham. Andrew, you're a big fan of Latest Exhibition, and Paul Nolan confirmed a couple of weeks ago that he could seize an opportunity in the Stayers Hurdle division What do you think the first opportunity for him would be to run over hurdles? When is that first race in Ireland?
Yeah, well, Paul Nolan was referring to in that exact same interview that he'd been a little bit backward to start off the season and they had to lay off him a little bit, so he would be only seen in 5 or 6 weeks' time. Now, that was around 2 weeks ago. I don't know with him. Obviously, the main aim, I suspect, will be, if they are to go over the hurdles route, is that 3 mile hurdle at Christmas time in Leopardstown on the 28th of December. It's usually cuts up pretty much, you know, and it'll end up being the old protagonist, I suspect, of Flooring Porter and Sire de Burley. And I don't think they'll fear those two horses with latest exhibition. The one that's also a lurker in this, and I don't want to beat the Nolan drum too much, but Mrs. Milner is not out of this picture. Just when you think of the likes, if we're including a horse like Buzz into a Stairs hurdle market, a horse that's absolutely dotted up in the per temps by 5-6 lengths, winning very easily, that form of that race is actually stacking up to be okay as well. I know she won it off a light enough weight, but she was good on her reappearance, and she's still a young mare that could be going places. I think she's as big as 33-40 to 1 in a few spots. I think it's that open a race, as you say. I just don't look at the top of the market. It doesn't fill you with any sort of fear if you were connections of a horse that was 33-1. This whole stuff with Paisley Park, will he go over fences, won't he go over fences? I don't like it whatsoever. And to be honest, his run at Aintree last year was absolutely dire, you know, and he'd have to come back an awful lot from that. I certainly wouldn't be parting with my hard earns on him anytime soon. So, you know, Time Hill probably is the flag bearer, but then again, you look back to novice hurdle form and latest exhibition holds him on that sort of form. So, hard to know. But I certainly wouldn't put you off backing an outsider in this race, or certainly be interested in an outsider in the race, because I think it could cut up and I don't think it's very strong at the top.
It is a wide open division. Charlie, going to Paisley Park, who is entered in the West Yorkshire Hurdle at Wetherby on Saturday, the camp is split with him going chasing. How difficult is it to make that decision when a horse is slightly older than the average that goes chasing?
I'd say it's a very difficult decision, you know, as in he's a horse that's dear to plenty of people's hearts. I mean, I think we all absolutely love the backstory to it, and it's a big gamble, isn't it? You know, it's that classic cliche of he doesn't owe anyone anything. You know, he's a Cheltenham Festival hero, and he's been a fantastic Grade One campaigner in this staying division, and he's 9 rising 10 now, Josh. And I don't know. There's an element in me that feels that. Has he schooled before and not been that convincing? As in, I don't know if there's a reason why it was never muted before. Maybe it was just because he was the dominant force in that division and therefore they saw no reason to change that, possibly. But I think it's a really big call, this, because it's one of those that if he doesn't either make the grade, as in transfer over his hurdle ability, it's kind of not worth doing. And God forbid, if something went wrong, they're going to face probably criticism, well, definitely criticism in the world we live in now. He's no longer the one they all have to beat. But I think going chasing Josh is a real big gamble, personally.
Yeah, I suppose, like looking back at some of that form from last year, he still would have to have a chance. I just don't know how many chances you can keep giving him, you know, for a horse that's kind of looking slower and slower as the days go on. And he certainly wouldn't be for me. And I just think the fact that they're trying to potentially mix things up by going chasing means that they're a little bit undecided themselves, you know, with how much ability they believe him to have, you know, over 3 mile in the open Grade One division. Obviously the perk of going chasing is you can actually put this horse into a couple of novice chases and hopefully get a few wins and build up his confidence again. But as I say, that Aintree run would really, really just put me off, to be honest. He looked pretty sour. It wasn't travelling a bit that day, and I know he is a bit of a behind the bridle sort, but he wasn't going a tap that day. So it's one of those, you know, obviously with the connection, with the storyline behind it, you'd love him to kind of almost come back and do it again. But on this time round, I'm afraid I'm going to have to piss on the parade ever so slightly, because I just don't see it happening.
A fascinating weekend of entries, as well as good racing over at Down Royal. We've even got the Grade One Champion Chase there on the Saturday. On the Friday, we've got Jerry Colomb and Hollow Games in the Maiden Hurdle. Susanna here, Jeff Kidder, all go in the WKD Hurdle. We've even got good Beginner's Chase, Beacon Edge, Grand Parody, Tory Graph, and the Albert Bartlett winner, Vanillier in there, and American Mike in the bumper, as well as a few other exciting horses. Cool Survivor, interestingly bought by Jigginstown, who are now supporting Gordon Elliott again. Now a few owners have taken their horses from his yard, but American Mike comes there with a lofty reputation, and I think people are already talking about him being Gordon Elliott's champion bumper horse for March. That'll be an interesting watch. On the Saturday, we're meant to be having the return of Envoir Alain, but there is that big Grade One Frodon. Looks like he's going over for it. Andrew, I suppose a very exciting weekend racing when it comes to the Irish.
Yeah, massive weekend. The Down Royal meet is really probably what you guys have with Chepstow, and maybe even the showcase meeting at Cheltenham. It's the first real big meeting, you know, where you're getting a couple of graded races in, and obviously that first Grade One of the year with the Ladbrokes Champion Chase. Now, the horse I'm actually really looking forward to in that race, and potentially a horse I might back, is actually Road to Respect for Noel Mead. And Noel Mead's been turning out winners left, right and centre on the flat and over jumps. And this is the type of horse that just wins races at the likes of a Down Royal. You know, he has won this race before. He doesn't end up going on to being a Gold Cup horse or anything. But sometimes you get a lot of these Gordon Elliott horses that need the run and potentially will come on plenty for it. And, you know, you have the likes of a Delta Work coming back for this race yet again. And he usually needs a race or two to just a way of a few of the cobwebs. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him. The WKD hurdle looks a fascinating race. I hope Zana here can prove to us how good he might be. And one that I'm going to throw in, you mentioned that Beginner's Chase, which looks a serious race. I can't wait to see Mouse Marcel's horse jump a fence, French Dynamite. I've been waiting for him to jump a fence now for a couple of years. Looks a really nice type of horse, had some good graded form in Ireland, and he might be able to play a hand in that sort of race at maybe an each-way price.
Should be a fascinating week of racing early in the season, just like the previous two. But a big thank you, both of you, for joining me on this Let's Talk Racing podcast in association with Racing TV. The next video going up will be the weekend preview, so do stick around for that. That will be coming tomorrow. And yeah, thank you very much, lads, and see you soon.